Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/ACAST, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/ACAST.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello and welcome back to the Psych Legal Pop podcast. This is a podcast where we talk about popular culture through the lens of an attorney and a therapist. I'm the therapist, Tess Brigham.
And I'm Brooke Brigham. I'm the attorney.
Woof. So it is Love is Blind, the reunion. We are fresh. I mean, fresh. Like, this sucker just aired fresh. So we just watched the reunion. I have to say, great. It was an overall great reunion. We got a lot of questions answered. Some things we did not get answered. Maybe those things will never be answered.
Yeah.
But, you know, I know a lot of people have issues with the Lacheys, but I think they're good hosts. And I think that in comparison, I mean, I know people weren't happy with Vanessa Lachey asking people about babies, but she learned her lesson. She doesn't
course corrected.
Yes. Yeah. She doesn't do that anymore. And they actually ask direct questions. Mm-hmm. And when someone evades the question, they go, well, hold on a second. Let's back up again. And then they'll ask them again and they'll ask them again. And to the point where it's like, yeah, this is what Andy Cohen needs to be doing. I'm sorry.
Exactly. No, they did a good job. They listened and learned from people's critiques of them. And they definitely upped the production value of this reunion.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, the pods and there's little skits. And
oh, yeah. We got to see like behind the scenes. That was kind of cool seeing the set. Because it is a set and you realize, oh, there's no ceilings like in these rooms that they're in.
Yeah.
You know, this is, it looks like a huge warehouse type thing with, yeah, like kind of, you know, like flimsy kind of walls, but no ceilings. So the cameras can get in there. And that was interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. I mean, I think that the pods themselves have ceilings, right? Because all the pods are next to each other. They can't.
Yeah,
I guess hearing each other.
But it looked like they were walking past, it looked like maybe, you know, where we see the people talking, like the kitchen, living room area.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't have a ceiling.
Yes. Yeah, I can believe that. Yeah. And I think that's kind of like what it's like for people with on Big Brother. It's like you live in this indoor set that sort of kind of looks like, you know, you're going somewhere else, but you're not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they did a whole production thing in the beginning. We get Nick and Vanessa in the pods talking to each other. And I felt a little uncomfortable towards the end there. But, you know, there was hi, ladies. And, you know, Nick's checking in on the guys. And, you know, Trevor's there freaking out. And, you know.
Oh, Trevor was sequestered.
Yeah, they wouldn't let, Trevor couldn't be with the other people.
No, and then when he came out, he could only just say his piece and then had to leave.
He couldn't even say his piece. He couldn't even say his speech. We'll get to that.
We'll get to that. That was really quite a moment. But yeah, they're putting more effort in. I appreciate it, you know?
And they, well, and their show's huge. I mean, the show keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And we saw some of the contestants. We saw some, you know, we got to see Brett and Tiffany.
Yeah.
Everybody's favorite. Well, I was surprised. No Cameron and Lauren, because they're the original OGs.
Right. And I guess, are Milton and Lydia still together? They just weren't there because they showed a picture of them. So I assume that they're together. They probably, I don't know, didn't want to do it. And then Zach and Bliss, obviously, we find out that Bliss is very pregnant. And so that's why they're not there. But then they brought back, Gianna, who, or Gigi, they called her. I think she, is that the girl from season one?
She was a blonde. She was a blonde. Yeah. And she's so the one that Damien, she was with Damien. And then right at the altar, he said, she said yes, he said no. And she flipped out and she ran through the woods in her wedding dress.
Ran through the mud and got her dress all dirty.
And then, but he like dicked her around. They were back and forth and back and forth and back and forth afterwards. Like Damien's kind of bad news.
So now she's allegedly with Blake, who I believe he's from The Bachelorette.
Oh, he is? I didn't know who Blake was because I'm not a regular Bachelor watcher.
Yeah, I did not. We jumped on here so quick. I didn't have time to look that up. But I believe that he was on The Bachelorette because he looked familiar. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they met. That was a real stretch, those two.
Well, I think they asked her. I think what we learn afterwards is all the people that were quote unquote singles that were there are Izzy and Micah are going to
the perfect
match, which is a very stupid show that has nothing to do with love at all. It's about furthering your influencer life because you don't win anything at all. It's a game. And there's, you basically win a trip together with this person, but you don't. Like last year, one woman lived in Australia and the guy lived in Canada. It was like, I don't think they ever went on the trip. Like there was nothing there.
Yeah. Okay. So I see how that ties in because Nick Lachey is the host of that show. So they're really promoting that. And so Gigi said, I was set to go on Perfect Match, but then I met Blake and he was the love of my life and whatever. So they're really pushing. And yeah, when I saw Micah and Izzy sitting together, it wasn't until the very end of the show where I'm like, are these two a couple? Like,
yeah, that's what I thought she was going to say. I thought she was going to say we're dating. And then it was like, oh, we're going to be on Perfect Match. And I'm like, oh, of course you are.
Yeah.
Got it. And Izzy's perfect for that show.
Yeah. And of course, and Jessica is going to be on Perfect Match. And she's the one, the guy who she's been seen in pictures with gallivanting around is this guy from the first season of Perfect Match. I'm completely blanking on his name.
Oh, wait a second.
That blonde guy.
Oh my God. Is he an idiot? Is he that dummy that like says, like has created his own language and words for things?
Oh, I don't know about that. But you know, he's actually, he's dating around. He's actually dating someone who Layla knows.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Who is Jessica from Love is Blind dating? Hold on. We've got to figure this out.
What is his name? I've had so many senior moments tonight trying to remember names.
Oh, is it Mark Cuvis? No, that's the other. That's the other Jessica. No. Okay. Who is Jessica dating now? And then hold on.
Or like just Google Perfect Match season one.
Oh, Harry Jowsey, Jowey. Okay. Yeah. Now I got to look this guy up because there was a guy that was on. So Perfect Match is a lot of people from all of these mainly Netflix show, but I don't watch. Okay. No, this is a different guy. He's not the dummy that makes up words, but was he was, I don't remember him from Perfect Match.
I thought he was.
Yeah, he's an actor.
Google his name and Perfect Match and see if it comes up. I'm pretty sure. I don't know. I'm such an old lady.
Maybe he's on Perfect Match too. Hold on. Okay. Oh, you are right. So Perfect Match 2. Harry from Too Hot to Handle.
Oh, Too Hot to Handle. That's right.
That's it. Okay.
Okay, people, so now he's going to be in a Perfect Match too. Then that's why he was.
That's why he's with Jessica. Got it. Okay, well that mystery solved. But there was another guy that was on the show that like, you know, had. He's one of these guys that thinks he's so clever and cute. I went to college with a lot of these guys. They were mainly frat bros that like, instead of saying struggling, they would say struggling or you know what I mean, like that kind of thing. You know.
Oh, luckily, I've never met anyone like that.
All right, we got to talk about the outfits because I have a lot of thoughts.
All right, go for it.
AD, of course, looked amazing.
She always looks amazing.
Hit it out of the park. Incredible. Looked incredible. Mm-hmm. I was very upset. Okay, Brittany looked like she was 52. She looked older than me. She is a young, beautiful woman, and she looked so dowdy. Brittany and Kenneth.
Kenneth, okay. Yeah, she kind of looked like, yeah, a middle-aged woman from Texas who was like dressed up for a gala.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I don't know why it bothered me so much. It really did.
An older look, more very conservative.
I think the red's perfect for her, and I like the idea of sparkles. It was just, again, too much.
Oh, it ditched the gloves.
And also, it looked old. It aged you.
Yeah,
AD again, did the best job of like, that is what a woman, a young woman, you know.
That age.
I have to tell you, Steve showed me a photo right before we recorded, and it's his friend, Casey, who has this t-shirt that said, Jesus and squats. And I'm like, oh my God, where do we get that shirt? And he's like, I think he just photoshopped it. And I'm like, well, find out if he has shirts.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, someone's jumping on that. Yeah, and Chelsea's dress
Chelsea,
was bizarre.
Why? What were you thinking,
feathers?
Chelsea? Like, yes.
Feather, it was a, like, off-the-shoulder feather edition. I don't even know.
Yeah, it was just bad. And it didn't flatter her. It made her look older. Like, all the dresses made everyone look so old. Mm-hmm. Jessica looked kind of like, Jessica wore exactly what I thought she would wear, and it was just a little too on the nose. I'm like, yeah.
Well, yeah, she had this big old, did you see her big old train? She had this huge flowery,
oh, I didn't see that,
poofy train. Yeah, well, you didn't really get to see much of it, because she probably had to be helped out onto the couch, you know, because it was so big. But it was all there on the floor in front of her.
Oh.
That was a bit much. But I mean, the upper part of the dress, yeah, it's like what you would expect her to wear.
But it's pretty. It's like it's kind of basic, but okay, I get why you would want to wear it. You get to show off your abs. I mean, you have to have quite the body to wear that dress. But I just feel like for her, she could really pull off anything. Mm-hmm. You know, again, you guys need to start following AD. Like, she really knows what's up. And she picked a beautiful color and, you know, looked great, great on TV. That's the other thing, too, is you have to think about what looks good on TV. Anyway.
Yeah. Oh, and Sarah Ann.
Oh, God.
Her dress was a little
very
tight. Looked very cheap. And she had this, you could see it. She had too much, like, sparkly something on her décolletage and her arms and shoulders. It was like she was sparkling.
Yeah. And kind of like, oh God, I'm going to sound so mean, but you know what? Who wears sparkles all over their bodies? I mean,
I don't know.
Exotic dancers, like strippers. I'm sorry. I don't know if you say sex worker. I don't want to offend anyone, but it's like, that's pretty common for that. So it's a little bit like, Sarah Ann, you're coming on here. People are already upset with you. You're being painted in a certain way. Yes, you need to be who you are. But if you want to see us differently, if you want people to see you differently, then why would you do that? I don't know. It just, I don't know.
That was a disaster.
That was, not good. But yeah, so, anywho.
The other like big picture observation I have is this show was around an hour and a half. Maybe
it was an hour and 37 minutes.
Okay, an hour and 37 minutes. They spent the first 55 minutes of this show basically dragging all the people who, you know, like Jeremy and Trevor and Sarah Ann and, you know, the people who they felt were very disingenuous, who, you know, were, and then Nick Lachey kind of gave this little lecture about how, you know, this show is about people finding love and you shouldn't be coming on here if you're just seeking fame. And Netflix really had a point to make.
Oh, yeah. Netflix and the Lacheys had something that they wanted to say about this. And I don't know. What did you think? Because I always hate it when especially celebrities lecture me about what I should think. And what I do not like it when people, tell me how to think. Tell me, you know, this is how I should be perceiving it. Because if you do not see this as some part of entertainment, hold on. If you do not see this as entertainment, you should not be airing the show.
Hmm.
If you see this as a true experiment, that's the problem.
Right.
If you ask any scientist, any researcher, what is an experiment?
It has to be blind. It has to be a
It's not blind. It's not this. So this experiment, just getting into it, is flawed. And I also want to maintain, because we were arguing back and forth about this idea. I've been thinking about this, like, is love blind? And it is, it can be half blind. You have, you know, you can fall in love with someone in the pods, but you, whether or not you're going to work and you're attracted to each other and whether or not it can work on the outside, getting to that kind of love cannot be blind. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. It's just, It felt like a lot to be lectured at.
It was a lot, but see, I understand where they're coming from. People should not be committing fraud.
Oh God, no, no.
They should not be coming on these shows. And I understand that, and they have obviously a very vested interest in the show and they want the show to be credible. It does have to be entertaining, but it can still be entertaining with people who are there for the right reasons.
Yes.
You know, and I felt like, I don't know, I felt like Netflix was kind of guilty of a lot of this too. You know, they really stoked a lot of this stuff, like at the lake party and when they would get together. I felt like it's like, well, you're stoking these things, but this was a whole different thing. This stuff about like Jeremy and Trevor, they really are, and Sarah Ann, they really are pieces of shit.
Yeah.
You know, what they did. And I don't buy this thing with Trevor. I don't really buy his explanation.
No, so. He didn't have one. And he knew he got caught. And I give him credit for showing up, because a lot of people don't. A lot of people, Matthew didn't. So
yeah.
I give him some credit for showing up. But yeah, I mean, it comes back to this idea of reality shows and what happens when they move along and what. And again, I've said this about Survivor, and I think Survivor's done a really good job with this, is you have to keep reinventing the show so that you get people that want to,
that are genuine,
that want to play Survivor, that want to find Love is Blind, not somebody who thinks they're going to further their career. And, you know, again, you may always, one or two of these people could potentially fall through, but I think that Netflix did not get, like, it's almost kind of like they needed some young, like, I swear, millennial women are so good at finding things on the internet. Like, they needed some millennial women that were like, okay, found it. Trevor's got a girlfriend.
People, right.
Like, I feel like all the Netflix people were our age, and then they probably went on, like, you know what
they
I mean?
Do
and
a
they
background
went on,
check.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, they do a background check, and then they're like, okay, well, let's check Trevor's socials. Oh, no pictures of a girl here. Okay. But, like, I feel like someone really smart would be like, hold on a second. Let me find this person and dig this up, and they would find that girlfriend. They would have.
Right.
You know? So that, I think that Netflix learn a big lesson, a very valuable lesson.
Well, let's get into some of these controversies.
Yes. Okay, so the first one's the Jeremy, Laura, Sarah Ann thing.
Yeah. So now Jeremy shows up. He looks so different. He's got this weird Hitler mustache.
Oh, I didn't even notice that. Well, of course he's wearing a Hawaiian shirt, because who he is. That is who he is. He knows Laura hates them, and he's going to neg her. He's just going to turn the thing in.
So it's been a year since he and Laura broke up, and now Sarah Ann and him are living together. Sarah Ann comes out. She looked like Kelly Dodd. Like, she really was.
Oh.
I kept thinking, is that Kelly Dodd in the face? But anyway, she's all dolled up, and she's got her body glitter, and she's just, you know, she's really feeling herself.
Yeah.
And then they bring Laura in on Zoom, you know, so that we can, you know, confront Jeremy on all this stuff. And so, yeah, they ask him about that engagement. Mm-hmm. And he says, not true. And this is one thing where the Lachey's failed. He said that he had ended the engagement before going on the show. But the rumors are that he ended it like a couple weeks before going on the show. Mm-hmm. And because he's like, that's not true. I was not engaged when I went on the show. And it's like, yeah, but people are saying you were engaged 2 weeks ago. Or 2 weeks before. So the Lachey's did not pin him down on a timeline. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was disappointing.
Yeah.
I feel like he got away with that.
And I think that he also got away with, and I moved out of my house. I told people I was engaged and that I had just recently sold my house. he did not say, I was engaged up until 2 weeks ago and we just sold our house together and we just stopped living together. Mm-hmm. Like he, yeah. And that's the thing. Jeremy finally owns up to something towards the end, but of their little segment. But that's the part that is so frustrating. And I understand Laura's feelings, which is that just say, you know what? I'm sorry. I knew that was a bad look on me, or I knew that wasn't going to be good. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I realized I rushed too soon. And then when I realized how that was going to come across, but I'm really, really sorry. I shouldn't have been more direct, but he just won't own anything.
Yeah. And he obviously like was going through the application process for the show long before that. I mean, I'm sure that this has got to be a months long process.
Mm-hmm.
And so you were still living together and maybe breaking up, sort of like engaged, but obviously not ready to jump into some new relationship or get engaged again. So, I mean, because, you know, he's been living with Sarah Ann, but they're not engaged. And then it comes up that they've broken up at least a couple times.
Yes, yes.
You know, and they've had some issues. So, I don't know. Feels like they're just using each other, you know.
I think they're kind of cut from the same cloth.
Yeah.
I think they're both a little toxic. I think they both love and hate the fame. I think they, you know, love being the center of attention, but I don't think they like, you know, all of the hate that they're getting. And I think that they like each other enough to be in this relationship. But I think that the two of them, I think when they fight, they probably really, I think these two fight. And I think mm-hmm. they then are very dramatic. And I think, okay, that's it. We're breaking up, you know, pack up my stuff and leave. And then 2 days later, we all know these people, these couples that are constantly back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Yep. But we get to see a scene from the party, unseen footage of Sarah Ann going to Laura, I guess kind of half apologizing, sort of saying, you know, I'm sorry, I sent the text and this is what I was thinking when I sent the text and yada, yada, yada. It was kind of going in a circle.
Yeah. And she was explaining things. It was way too much explanation, way mm-hmm. too much talking, way too, like, it kind of showed a guilty conscience. And Laura's just kind of like, you know.
Because the reality, I bet you this is what I think is the truth. Sarah Ann left the show. She was friggin' pissed and upset and hurt. So she gets on, she's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to text Jeremy and I'm going to text him this thing. And she did it knowing that it would spark something. Mm-hmm. It would spark something between the two of them and it would do something. And she did it to hurt Laura and to hurt Jeremy. And then she realized like, oh crap, this makes me look really bad or this got out. Mm-hmm. And now I've got to find an excuse or a reason for why I'm telling you now this new story. I think she did it out of anger, personally.
Yeah. Yeah. And the whole thing about, you know, they're talking to 5 in the morning and basically Laura says, you know, if I hadn't woken up and looked at your location, you know, in the middle mm-hmm. of the night, I never would have known. And I mean, it was bad enough that he was out till 5 in the morning talking to her, even if they'd never left the bar parking lot, the whole thing. I mean, he's just a creep. And so is Sarah Ann. They're just liars.
Yeah. Well, you know? Laura really called him on it. She was like, all Jeremy cares about is his image. And we learned mm-hmm. that apparently Jeremy made some comments about Jimmy. Mm-hmm. Like, and so this was a big complaint about season 6 was everyone was hyper aware they were on TV. Mm-hmm. And hyper aware of how they would be painted. Mm-hmm. And I think that realization actually hurt people more than it helped people. Do you know mm-hmm. what I mean? I feel like if they had gone in going, I need to be myself and however I'm edited is how I'm edited and there's nothing I can do. Mm-hmm. But it feels like Jimmy and Jeremy and a lot of these people went into this concerned about how they were going to look. And so they kind of, maybe they hemmed and hawed. Maybe they spent more time with women they shouldn't have spent time with. Maybe they should, you know what I mean? It was a little bit like, it was very curated, I felt like. Yeah. But if Jeremy said something about like, I doesn't want to look like as bad as Jimmy, doesn't want to be a villain like Jimmy. And that pissed Jimmy off. Jimmy was really hurt by that.
Yeah, because he's like, he was trying to make this tough decision. I guess he's talking about between, you know, Jessica and Chelsea, and the other guys were trying to support him. And Jeremy said, at least I can sleep tonight knowing Jimmy is the villain.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really shitty.
Yeah. So, and then we learned that Sarah Ann apparently unfollowed all the women, but then kept following all the men.
Of course. Yeah. And then she's like, this is entertainment.
Oh, God. And then we see videos. So, yeah, she showed videos of her house. And that's one of the things that the Lachey's yelled at her about, these videos.
They were TikTok videos that she did from Jeremy's apartment. And it was like spoiling.
And people knew. Yeah. Things. People were pissed that was a spoiler. And I don't know. I have to say, though, I didn't see any of these videos. But, and again, I'm not one of these detective people. I've been looking at that Kate Middleton photo and I'm still confused.
I don't understand.
I'm so confused about this photo. That's a different discussion because I have been looking at Charlotte's sleeve going, I don't see a difference.
Well, but I did see something. There's some fabric in a place where there shouldn't be fabric.
Okay. So I was so confused.
I figured that one out, but the other two I'm still working on.
There's like four or five. I'm like, what are you talking about? The hair doesn't match. I'm like, I don't understand. So anyway, but I'm with her in the sense of if I did a video, I don't know if I would necessarily think that people would figure out where I was. Mm. So I don't think she did that intentionally. It was the other video that then they had to show, they had to recite what she said, then show it to her and then scold her about the fact that she called it entertainment. And because they were pissed. They were like, you made it seem like this was all fake and it's not fake. And that pisses us off. Because we don't want to be the Bachelor, basically.
Right. And then Laura really summed it up where she said, you know, he met her whole family. Her 96-year-old grandma flew in because there was going to be a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 days later, he's with Sarah Ann.
Yeah.
And that just shows you how, like that whole scene at her house when he's meeting her family. And everything. I mean, it's just like, and then 2 days later, you're sitting in a parking lot till 5 a.m. talking to this chick. I mean, bizarre.
Yeah. Well, and that's when he finally apologized. And I think I feel like he then really got what he had done. Because again, this comes back to the issue that the Lachey's are talking about, because the problem is that we're mixing people who are influencers and not ready to get, who want to be influencers, who are not ready to get married, who are just doing this because it's either a way to further their careers or a way to just have a lark, like have some fun.
Mm-hmm.
And you're mixing those with people like Laura, who really, an AD, who really wanted to get married. And that was the issue with Clay, too. Clay shouldn't have been on the show. Clay had no business being on the show.
And I don't believe that he'd never seen the show before. He says later on in the reunion that the first time he ever saw the show was when he watched it with AD and her mom. And I'm like, what? There's no way. Anyway, that's a whole other thing. But anyway, okay, so let's move on to Trevor.
Trevor's here.
Trevor comes out. It's very awkward. That man is huge. He can barely fit on the couch. Good thing Jessica's thin.
Well, the train, Jessica, the train, and Trevor.
Right.
Can't all fit.
It was a lot.
Yeah.
And so they just start, the Lachey's just start.
Oh my God. The dramatic reading of the text. I was like, oh, this is good television right here. Because I was like, oh, they're going to keep going. They're going.
They're playing roles.
Like, he's Trevor
and she's the girlfriend. It's a performance.
It was a performance. Yeah. Oh my God. I mean, it was just the funniest thing. And it was, they're showing Trevor the whole time. And it's just like almost like someone came in and just, you know, knife in the kidneys. Like,
yes.
Like, let's just stick it to you, Trevor. Oh my God. I started to feel bad for him. I really did.
I did feel bad for him momentarily.
I know.
But when he got into his explanation, I was just, it all fell apart for me.
But he froze. Did you see? He froze. Yeah. Like,
he was stunned and literally speechless.
Yes. Because I don't think he knew that they were going to be doing the dramatic reading.
He had no idea the texts were going to be read.
So I think that he thought that maybe, okay, we're going to talk about the texts and they're going to show them and maybe they'll show one, but that's it. But I think that that scared him to death, that it was it was like right there in his face. And I think that his story that he came up with, and again, we all do this. We all come up with stories for people to make it seem, we don't make us not seem so bad, make us seem a different way. But if Trevor would have bought himself a lot if he just came out and said, you know, I screwed up. You're absolutely right. I did this. And he kind of sort of did, but it's almost this idea of him being like Clay, like I'm toxic. You know, I'm a toxic man. I'm a bad boy. I'm bad. I don't know what I want. Like,
but he first tried to give an explanation by saying that he wasn't technically dating.
Oh, that's right.
Okay. They weren't technically dating. They were in some kind of a relationship, but it was a toxic relationship. And he really wanted to meet someone that he wouldn't necessarily go for in real life, because this woman was kind of his typical type and it wasn't working and it was toxic. And so,
but he had said, I love you.
Right.
In the texts. And Nick is like, hold on a second.
Yeah.
You know, you're saying she's not your girlfriend, but you don't say I love you to someone you don't care about. So you had to have cared about her. Mm-hmm. And I think that's when everything falls apart for him.
That's when he said, I need a lot of therapy.
Yes. He said, I'm toxic. I'm a toxic person. I get into toxic relationships. And can I leave the stage now?
Yeah. He asked if he could leave. But then they wouldn't let him leave quite yet. Mm-hmm. And he said he was going to leave the girlfriend if he met someone. And he was really devastated by having to leave the pods. And he, you know, but yeah, no one's believing anything he says. And then Nick gives his lecture about how this cannot be motivated by fame.
Yes.
And then he says, Trevor, you can leave now. And Trevor gets up and walks off.
God, I think I feel like I'm a little attracted to Nick Lachey now. I don't know. I've always found him to be kind of goofy, but like, well, I really like this tough Phil Donahue, Nick Lachey, like, in your face.
He really took charge.
Yes, he did. He did take charge.
He stepped up.
He took charge. He
stood up to Trevor.
Yeah. He's already so broken. You know, but I guess I shouldn't feel bad because he did this knowingly. He did all of, like, I feel bad because I don't think, no one deserves this much hate. Like, no one deserves. I read a comment, I think either earlier today or yesterday, about one of my YouTube videos. Someone commented on my moles. Like, one person said, this mole near my eye is so big, and like, you have money, why aren't you getting it removed?
Oh my
God. And that like was very upsetting to me. I was like, God, and then I'm like seconds away from texting my doctor to get it. But I was just like, and then you start thinking in your mind, you're like, this motherfucker, they don't know that I've already gone in and they've already looked at it and they told me it's nothing big. And
well, yeah, I've been through a bunch of scar. I mean, yeah, you have a big old huge scar.
Well, also I want to say needles, because they have to numb it. It would be a needle near my eye.
Yeah.
So I have thought about it. Trust me, if I could easily just snap it off, I would. And what this other woman who does not know me at all does not realize is, I spent most of 2021 and 2022 being poked with needles, poked and prodded constantly because I had a big medical thing. And quite frankly, I don't want to see another needle for a while.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, but it hurt. It was. And so after that, I was like, God, I feel for these people because no one deserves.
Oh, they're getting millions. That's the thing. Millions of people are commenting on them, their appearance, everything about them. I mean, I get upset when, you know, someone critiques our podcast and it's just like, who cares? Okay. If you don't like it, turn it off. You know, and I'm not forcing you to listen. It's a free podcast.
Well,
thank God.
And I think this is very different because you could say we're being hypocrites because we're ragging on these people on the show. But I feel like this is very different because
ragging on anyone's looks. We have not. Okay. We're talking about maybe their dresses. We don't like their dresses.
No, we don't talk about their looks.
We never talk about people's physical appearance or their bodies or any, we don't. I dare someone to find a clip where we do that.
Well, I just kind of shamed Sarah Ann for the body glitter,
but that's body glitter. We're not saying anything. We're not saying that there's anything wrong with her body. We're saying that maybe it's not a good idea to put glitter on your, your chest. I mean, that we don't go for people's looks.
And listen, we are commenting on you and your life and all that. But I feel like this is very different than social media and like reading comments, because I was going through my YouTube thing again, another free thing that it's free. Mm-hmm. I was going through my comments and I was like, God, I should probably look at some of these and respond to them because I feel really bad. And then you're like, this is why I don't respond to comments. This is why, mm-hmm. because I hit one of these and I'm like upset. It ruins your, you know, and you start to think like, do I look horrible? Am I, you know, what's wrong with me? And then I had to record some videos today. I'm like, put my hair over the mole, you know, God forbid this poor woman sees me.
God.
But that's, so this is, and I'm 50 and I'm a therapist, like, yeah. you know, and I'm married with a kid. Like, so this is me. And this is how right. that one comment. And I think it's very different when it's a podcast that you have control over, right? Where you say, okay, they talk about Love is Blind, but they talk about it in this way, so I'm not going to listen to it. It's very different when someone's in your social media feed and mm-hmm. you're seeing the comments. Like, that feels, I don't ever do that.
Very personal.
Yeah. That's very personal. Like, this is my whole thing. People talk about you behind your back. It's going to happen. I know it happened. I know people talk about me behind my back. I just don't want to hear it. So don't put it in my face so that I can see it. Mm-hmm. You put it behind closed doors. And that's what a podcast is. So that's my justification.
And I'm trying to. Yeah. And I realize like, yeah, I can't imagine what these people go through with what the hate. They all get hate, like whether they are quote unquote, you know, like favorites or, you know, villains or whatever. I mean, I can't imagine, mm-hmm. you know, it's horrible. So
anyway,
we're not trying to. Yeah. I mean, but if you lie, you know, someone's going to call you out on it.
Yeah.
And that's
that. And so I should stop feeling bad. I let too many people off the hook.
So anyway, Clay, that was 55 minutes.
That was 55 minutes. Oh,
that was a 55 minute mark. Huh. Like all of that. Like they really went into that deep. Okay. So then we go to AD and Clay. Yes. And so several weeks went by after the wedding. And then Clay called AD.
A few times.
Yeah, we don't really hear much about, okay, well, what happened after he called? Did you guys see each other? We didn't get into any of that. So we don't know.
I get the sense that they've talked, obviously. They've talked. I think they're friendly. I think he obviously, and he said it, that he loves her. And I think he's probably talking to her and trying to see if she'll date him. And I think she keeps saying no.
Right. Yeah. No, she does not want to date him. But Clay admits that he couldn't get out of his own way. He mm-hmm. said he didn't think he deserved love and he made a mistake.
I just felt so bad.
I know. Made a mistake. AD is the love of his life. He says he's going to therapy. Apologizes to her, says he loves her. She's the love of his life.
But AD's pissed because she said, you knew you didn't want to get married. You knew that.
Right.
And
she said, what am I supposed to do with this information?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think that for her, I think that, you know, it might be easy to take a step back and go, well, just date him. Like, see how it goes. Like, date, see what happens. But I think that I don't know what their other conversations, I don't know what their conversations were that we didn't see, but it seems like Clay really made her feel like he was going to say yes, or that he was ready for marriage. Mm-hmm. Like whatever his reasoning.
He obviously told her that.
Yeah, something was off. So I feel like while she likes him and cares about him and wants the best for him, I think she feels like I can never trust this person.
Right.
So, and why isn't AD on Perfect Match? She would be great for that.
Oh, she's too good for that. She wants to find a real relationship.
Yeah, No, it's not a fake one.
Yeah, no, she wants a real relationship. And that's why she's not into this. Like, she knows that she would just, if she dated Clay, it would just go on and on and on. And he would keep dating her. Oh, and he says something in a few minutes later to the effect of, he says, okay, she's like, you played me and you didn't want to get married. And he says, yes, I did. Saying, yes, I did want to get married. And she said, well, then why aren't we married? You know, and that's the thing. I think he would say whatever he had to say just to keep her around. And then later he talks about how, well, you know, he was an athlete, and, you know, it's really hard to be with just one woman. And he's not. And so he starts kind of saying things, telling on himself that, Clay, maybe you are in therapy. I don't know. But you still have this mentality that you don't want to be with just one woman. You don't want to get married. I don't know why you're here.
Well, yeah. And I think that what we're seeing is that, again, there's the Clay that, there's the Clay that Clay wants to be. There's a version of Clay that he wants to be, which is with AD and a stand-up guy and a good guy, because he says that. He says, I want to be a good guy. I want to be a good guy. And so, you know, there's that version of it. And then there's this other version of himself where he feels like, but I am not a good person. He says this, I'm not a good person. He doesn't feel like he's a good person.
Like, so he doesn't deserve love.
Yes. And as long as he feels that way, as long as he feels that, and as long as he continues to go back to this idea of, but I haven't seen anyone not cheat. I haven't seen this. I haven't seen that. He's got to get to a place of self-love and realizing that while he hasn't seen these things in his life, it doesn't mean it's not attainable. And it doesn't mean he can't work towards it. And that's the thing, is that Clay keeps thinking that he has to know exactly, you know, it's you have to think about marriage kind of like alcoholism. It's like one day at a time. Mm-hmm. You've got to really think about it in terms of like, today I wake up and I'm committed to you. I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Do I intend to be committed to you tomorrow? Absolutely. You know, but it's a choice. It's a choice. You choose to love someone. Mm-hmm. You choose to show up to them. You choose not to cheat on them. You choose to be respectful. And that's the piece, is that Clay doesn't feel like he has it in him to make that choice every day.
He said he didn't think he could show up for her every day.
Yeah.
And then he kind of talks about this time-space continuum where days are like weeks.
Well, and I'm sure
it's like 3 days.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. But then they get into Clay's mom and dad.
Yeah.
And that was, God, that was so interesting.
That was so good.
So, and AD talks about, she realized Clay was dealing. She said seeing that was very helpful for her, because she really realized, like, oh, I'm dealing with a lot here with this person.
Yeah.
And then they asked if Clay's dad apologized to him. And that's another thing, too, where I think it's great that Clay's in therapy. But again, you're making excuses for your dad. Like, oh, my dad and I are great with banter, and he doesn't really apologize. So he kind of semi-apologized.
He did it in his own way.
He did it in his own way. And it's like, so no. You could have said,
he didn't apologize.
So if Clay had changed at all, and I'm not saying he hasn't changed, but I'm just saying that a new Clay, his reaction to that should be, you know, and honestly, I have not received a formal apology from my father. I may never receive one. That's who he is. I'm choosing to continue to be in his life and love him, even though he hasn't given me that apology, you know, and that's enough. And just keep going. But Clay has to be the good guy. And then he has to make his father look good. Do you know what? He constantly, you know, I got to make my dad look good. I got
to
make Clay look good.
You know, his world has to be good. Everything has to look good. But then he'll turn around and tell you that it's not. But then he's so all over the place and clearly not ready for marriage. And it was probably good that he said no. And I hope that, both of them moving forward can, you know, get whatever they need. But, you know, is this where he says...
He talks to Brett. Yeah. And that was really moving. I was like, I'm really moved by all of this. God, this is good television.
Yeah. You can tell Clay is very aware of these issues. Mm-hmm. He's very aware of his issues.
Well,
he just doesn't know how to... He doesn't know what to do.
The thing is that, honestly, Clay, I felt like when he was talking to Brett, it was almost like, help me, Brett.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what I'm doing. And
How do I get to where you are?
I saw you on the show, you know, and I see you and I look up to you and I'm, you know, and all of, and so how do I get there? Mm-hmm. Brett needs to take Clay under his wing. But Brett, you know, Brett said too, he said, but I didn't know these things. He's like, I didn't know these things. And I think that what we're seeing with the difference between Brett and Clay is, I think Brett was 36, 37 when he was on the show, and Clay was 30, and Clay is a young 30. These years are, just like with the show and the space-time continuum, these years in your 20s, these years in your 30s, these are years of just figuring stuff out. I think women figure out more stuff in their 20s and men figure out more stuff in their 30s. Mm-hmm. That's just what I've seen.
Yeah, Brett was ready.
Brett had worked on himself.
Yeah.
And he was ready for that. And Clay, you can be that, but just not right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Well, yeah, then we are treated to a video of this, a wacky video of Johnny and Amy and their first year of marriage. And yeah, in the very beginning of the show, you know, they talk about, there's really nothing to talk about with them. But, you know, they were talking about how their families had just gelled so well together and everybody's happy. It's just happy, happy, happy. And
I kind of tune out for this stuff.
Yeah, they haven't even had a fight yet.
No.
So, okay, now let's take some questions from the audience.
Not from the audience, the Love is Blind people.
Right.
You're not going to hear from nobody.
No, they're questions that came from the audience.
Oh, that's
right. The Love is Blind people are asking. So Chelsea asks Jessica how her daughter feels about this whole experience. Her daughter, Autumn. And she says that she's excited about it. Like, you know, obviously she can see her and her mom are getting all this attention. But she claims that she hasn't actually seen the show. But then she says that she saw Jessica cry for the first time. Well, then she must have seen the show.
Well, I think she said she let her watch parts of the show.
Oh, okay.
Not the whole show, but she said apparently she had never seen her mother cry, which is really interesting because I break into tears all the time. My poor son sees me cry. Not all the time, but like when we're dealing with some heavy duty stuff, you know, my son's had a lot of issues with mental health. And so when we've been in these meetings, he and Max and Steve are very embarrassed by me.
Well, yeah, that's kind of a different situation. I mean, yeah, I can only remember crying in front of Layla a couple of times, like very rarely. Cause you do, you're trying to be like, you know, strong and whatever. But the weirdest thing is that Jessica and Chelsea are now best friends.
Oh, the other one. Yeah. That is interesting.
Yeah. The other Chelsea,
the other Chelsea
this season. But, anyway, so she's met a lot of the women from the show. And so then we have, this was a good one.
Oh yeah.
Gigi asked the question to, Johnny, like why condoms weren't an option.
But Johnny says the line of the year, which is, well, you know, I really didn't know much about birth control. It's like, no shit, Sherlock.
I know.
We all figured that out pretty damn quickly.
You're like 30-ish years old. You'd think you'd have enough sexual experience that you'd know a few things about birth control, but maybe not. I don't know. Maybe Johnny just isn't. It's not that experience. And then, Amy says that they figured it out, but she's not on birth control. He didn't have a vasectomy, but they figured it out. Well, I still don't understand. Okay,
because they're using condoms.
Oh, they're only using condoms.
Well, he's pulling out. You know, they're pulling
out.
That's
not a good plan.
I know. I know. I don't know what they're doing, but they're pulling out. They're using condoms. I don't know what's happening, but yeah,
this
Johnny, we all know you don't know a lot about birth control.
This is the biggest mystery of the whole show. What are they doing? What are they doing? I'm so confused.
Yes.
Okay. So then Alexa of Alexa and Brennan, is that
Brennan? Yeah.
Asks Chelsea,
How she feels about the Jessica Laura conversation at the bar when they got back into town.
Yeah.
Because it's true, you know, and again, I have to say, like, Jessica is not my favorite person, but I have to give her some credit because she owned that. She said, you know what, you're absolutely right. Like, I shouldn't have, you know, you're right. I was rude and I shouldn't have said those things and I was
what
hurt.
What did she say exactly? I can't even remember.
I think Laura and Jessica got together and basically Jessica was telling Laura about how Jimmy, you know, friended her and then took the friend quest away. And you know, I think she just made some snide comments about like, oh yeah, wait until Jimmy sees me or something to that. I don't know. Laura told her that Jimmy's seen her. And, you know, I think she was not being terribly respectful, you know, the standard that they hold each other to. But the thing is that Jessica owned it. That's the difference, Sarah Ann and Jeremy. That she just said, you know what, you're right.
Yeah.
I should have done that. And then they ask, who asked the question about Jimmy, how he felt about Chelsea revealing that secret about his friend, which really opened us up to the Jimmy Chelsea section.
Oh, that was Micah.
And Jimmy, yeah. Jimmy was very upset. You could see how upset. And he said it was tears in his eyes.
He said it was the defining moment.
Yeah.
That it was basically the end of the relationship.
That's what I said. I said it was a bridge too far.
Yeah.
Just couldn't.
And the reason why he didn't break it off with her like that day. Well, he tried to. He said the next morning. He said, I don't want to get married, but she, you know, kind of wrangled him into staying. And then a few days, more days went by, and he said the only reason he stayed was because he loved her so much.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Which is odd.
Which I think they do, because there was a moment when they were on the couch. I mean, and they were both very respectful to each other. And there was a moment on the couch where they actually physically, like, they put each other's hands, like, mm-hmm. on their legs and kind of like, are you okay? We're good. You know, like an mm-hmm. affectionate sort of gesture.
On the interwebs, have you seen this? That apparently Chelsea was showing photos of herself going down to Florida or somewhere for a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Or Mexico or something for a wedding. And that people, the sleuths of the internet figured out that Jimmy may also be there. Mm-hmm. Like, there was all these rumors that the two of them were back together and that they had gone to this wedding together. And I thought we would hear about that.
Yeah.
But I guess what's happened is, whether that's true or not, they were both at that wedding, who knows? But they, it sounds like they would have said it. They're not together. But it sounds like they are, I think they basically came together and said, we're not going to throw each other under the bus. We're not going to be assholes to each other. So let's just.
Yeah, they really, they didn't talk about anything about, you know, the way that they asked Clay and AD, well, have you seen each other? They didn't really go into any of that with them.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well. I don't know. It was kind of interesting because we never really got into Chelsea and what was going, like, I would have wanted to know, like, Chelsea, can you tell us a bit about what was going on for you? Because AD, they went to all the other women and said, well, what did you think about Chelsea and Jimmy's relationship? And AD was like, yeah, it wasn't, you know, I see a different side of Chelsea. And so it was kind of, you know, this was weird to see this. And I would have loved to know, right, what Chelsea was thinking and feeling the whole time. Like, you know, what sparked all of this? Like, is this, did she realize, they all talked about how this was therapy for them. So mm-hmm. did she realize that this was, that she needed to change her behavior?
Mm.
Did she realize, you know, did this help her change her behavior? Yeah. Did she realize that maybe she, you know, when she gets into these relationships, she gets too insecure? There was no development of, because yeah, we watched all this. Chelsea's been raked through the coals. It's like, yeah. So can we see what the ending is?
We,
like,
heard very little from her.
Yeah. I would like to know.
Yeah. You know? We heard very little from her, heard very little about what happened after they broke up. It was kind of strange.
Yeah. Psych Legal Pop. We'll be back after these messages.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
So then we get into the whole Jessica stuff. So Jessica, I guess there was some debate about when Jessica and Jimmy saw each other. Was there chemistry? Was there not chemistry? I think they both agree that there was friendship chemistry. Mm-hmm. I think that's what they get to. But Jessica said, I was hurt, or I thought we were friends until I read this interview that where you really threw me under the bus and said that you didn't want to date me because I left our date after 10 minutes. And I, what was the other thing? And I was rude to you in the last few things. And she said, you know, I've said nothing but nice things for you. And I just don't understand why did you say those things? And then we get this, you know, this big debate about time. Mm-hmm. And like, is it 10 minutes, an hour, hour and a half? They finally show us the receipts. They show us that it was actually an hour and a half and then a break and then another 50 minutes.
Yeah, it was a total of 2 hours and 13 minutes.
Yeah, so Jimmy, your timing is off. Yeah. It wasn't 10 minutes.
And you know what was interesting watching that back? She was exasperated by him.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she was trying to, obviously that whole letter thing was just too much for him. Mm-hmm. You know, that letter she wrote to her future husband was way too much for him. And he didn't know how to handle it. And, you know, she didn't get the response that she thought she should get. And it was really a disaster. I mean, no wonder that combined with, I know he was hesitant about the fact she had a child. That was just the end. It was just,
yeah. Well, and also, you know, what's interesting is Jimmy was saying like, oh, she was, you know, kind of rude to me. And I was like, but she was so at the end of her rope. And then she finally said, okay, let's just go. We're not going to get anywhere. Let's just separate. Let's just figure it out. And she picked up the blanket. She picked up her banana and she probably was a little short with him. Like, see you around. Like, you know,
she but it's
like
rude
that, I mean,
and she didn't storm out.
No, she her tone might have been a little bit exhausted, but she was exhausted by you. Right. So that's weird too. Like, what's your interpretation of this, Jimmy? Like, why? That's different than the time thing. You know, why is that? She was terrible to you, mean to you? Like,
I think he's trying to do some rehab of his own image. You know, I don't know. This is also.
And then we get into the whole poor Chelsea and the Megan Fox thing. And she says she's proud of herself. She's handling it well, which she, you know, listen, that was rough because it really, you know, I think it was a little more calculated than she claims it to be, that she said it was a throwaway comment. I think it was a little more calculated, but even still, it was just one comment. You shouldn't be raked over the coals for that.
Right. And also just because some people, and I can sort of see the Megan Fox look in her face. If you look at her face, she does kind of, they have sort of the same angles of, you know, their facial structure.
Their heads and faces are shaped the same.
Yes.
Yeah. And they have dark hair. And blue eyes.
Well, it's not even the hair. Megan Fox's hair is like almost black. I mean,
oh, that's right. She keeps dyeing it.
It's the facial structure, and I can see it. I do see it. And all he said was, what celebrity do you look like? And she just said, well, because she's a flight attendant, so she sees hundreds of people every day. And, you know, if people keep saying that, I mean, I don't know. She didn't do anything wrong, and she's being dragged like hell. You know, all the horrible TikToks and comments and whatever again about her appearance, saying, well, she's no Megan Fox. And it's like, well, neither are you, you know. Okay,
nobody is Megan Fox. And guess what, I think Megan Fox paid for some of the things that make up Megan Fox.
Exactly.
And I think Megan Fox is really hungry.
She's starving.
I think she is very, very hungry. As someone who worked in Hollywood, I just want to say that a lot of people that make it as actors, they're teeny tiny little people. Some are that way, and that's just how they're built, and they're just teeny tiny. The rest of them starve themselves to be teeny tiny. And I know this as a man, you know, so she's hungry.
She needs a cheeseburger.
So then we get into the Bliss and Zach are having a baby girl, and we get to see scenes from their baby shower, which is very exciting.
Yes.
And I guess all the Love is Blind people are there. Yeah.
Tiffany and Chelsea and Kwame.
They're all Brett. I guess they're all friends and they're all hanging out.
And you know what? They even had those gold goblets at the baby shower.
Oh, did you notice that?
Zach and Bliss were holding the gold goblets. I was like, oh my God, this, you're contractually required if you appear on this show anyway to have one of those in your hands.
Brennan and Alexia, they're pregnant. I guess I didn't realize that she had fertility issues, but I guess it's been a lot for them to get to this point. Which is surprising. She's young. Like she said that
they were just about to do IVF and she got pregnant naturally. So I don't know.
Maybe they tried. Maybe they were trying for a while and really thought. I mean, but that oddly enough happens a lot for people. Like the minute they stop paying attention or caring, they get pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's like, oh, we're going to do IVF. So let's just, now we have a plan. And then we finally get to Brittany and Kenneth, who have been sitting there. And Brittany's annoyed, and I'm with her. You know, like, finally you're going to get to us?
Well, because Alexa asks them a question.
Yeah.
She says, do you want to just do it and see if you have the crave or craving that you wanted?
Mm-hmm.
So I'd appreciate that direct question.
Yes.
But then they start talking about Kenneth's phone. And, you know, how he was just always on his phone, which he was, and it was pretty rude, honestly. But he says he was away for 3 weeks, and he's a principal, and he had to get back in touch with his students and families and teachers and whatever.
I don't know. I feel for Kenneth on this one. I've said, being a principal is a really hard job. I think he had a million and one things to do. I think he was very distracted.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that some people with their jobs have the luxury of not working during that time when they're still getting to know each other. But I don't think Kenneth had that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think he was just distracted. I think he was, you know, a lot going on. And I don't think he was doing it intentionally.
But he's doing it when they're filming. Okay. The cameras are there. You are filming. You can't put your phone down for an hour, you know, or not even that. However long they're there in your kitchen to film this scene. I mean,
well, Chelsea said she forgot the cameras were there. So maybe they're there all day long. They're just there the entire time. Maybe they're just there at your house.
Probably because they don't know when you're going to start talking about something.
So they're there all day long. So eventually, like a pet, you forget they're lying there. You're like, oh, wait. Oh, the dog's here. You know, oh, we have a cat, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's more of that. But now, cause they also posted a video that made it look very like, what's going on with us? Mm-hmm. And the big reveal is we're friends. It's like, you really need to do a TikTok video for that or a reel for that. I mean, but they talk every day. They're best friends.
They're best friends now, which I'm not sure if I believe. I don't know if I believe that. I don't know what to believe with those two. I feel like they're so weird Nick or Vanessa, one of them, asked him about how, you know, he seemed so nonchalant when they had broke up, but he was just sort of like, okay, give me a hug. Gotta go.
Yeah.
You know, and he claimed that, you know, he showed emotion later. He broke down later and he called Clay and he was a mess and this and that. I don't know. I find these two so mysterious.
Yeah.
I don't get them at all. But anyway, hope they're happy.
So then we see Colleen and Matt. They finally moved in together. So they seem to be happy. Matt looks very different, but I think maybe he just lost some weight or maybe he stopped drinking or something. He just looks very different. Mm. And then we learn, I had heard that Matthew was going to be at the reunion. I read some article somewhere that he was quoted in where he said, like, I'll be there and I want to defend myself. Mm. But I guess he realized he couldn't.
Yeah.
So they finally played the infamous, you know, the scenes with Amber of what did he say to Amber versus what he said to AD. And, you know, I like what AD said, which was, she was like, listen, it wasn't word for word the exact same thing, but there was a lot of, you know, there were a lot of similarities. There was a little bit of similarities. And she said the thing that hurt her the most was what he said about the father. Because apparently if he's saying this, you know, that was really important and significant to her. That meant something to her and that felt special. And then she realized like, oh, this is something he's saying to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Clay was very uncomfortable watching this. He physically, his body and facial expressions were just really, really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Seeing her in the pods talking to him because she was, smitten with him for a minute.
Yeah, she liked him.
You know, and I thought that was interesting.
Well, and then we learned that AD and Matthew went on a few dates, and then she kept smiling. I'm like, oh God, AD, you didn't have sex with this guy, did you? And so basically they went on one date where he apologized, and then they went on a second date where he cooked for her rice and chicken, which wasn't that great, apparently. And then they just decided that this wasn't going to work.
It fizzled out.
But she was like, oh, I thought he was cute. And you could see Clay there too. He's hurt. He's hurt. Like, he does. Again, I think this is Clay's issues. These are Clay's issues. He is being shown up by another man. Right. That's not good. I need to be the bigger man. Why doesn't she want me?
Right.
And that really hurt him. And he has a lot to work on, Clay.
Yeah.
We learn that Chelsea of Chelsea and Kwame is going to be casting for Love is Blind. This job is very meaningful to her.
That's quite a career shift. Wasn't she like a child speech pathologist?
That's right. That's right. Because I was thinking to myself, was she in the entertainment or casting before?
No.
How do you get from that to that? I bet you anything, they said, you know what, we need to have a former contestant to come in and help us. And I think they probably scoured and said, who wants the job?
Yeah.
You know?
I didn't like her. She looked like she was going to the Barbie movie premiere.
I know. I've never been a Chelsea of Chelsea and Kwame fan. She's not my cup of tea. She's a nice, she seems like a lovely
person.
She's
nice. But, I don't know. But, that was a really, her hair, like all the fake hair extensions and the.
I don't like her style.
Yeah. I don't like her style either.
And then we learn about Micah and Izzy and Jessica are in the next season of Perfect Match. And Micah and Jessica are besties. And Izzy has fixed his credit.
Thank God.
Woohoo! And he wants a standing ovation for that
right.
one. Izzy did the minimal thing that he should do as an adult, and he wants a goddamn parade. Yeah. So he has not changed.
Oh, goodness.
And that was pretty much it. They all toasted and...
Yeah.
I am emotionally spent.
Well, it was a great season. Can't wait for the next one. I love this show.
It's a great season. But I really hope...
Addicting.
I wonder if... Have they shot season 7 yet? Like, have they shot it and it's in the can? Or have the season 7 people seen season 6? Because that always is very telling, right? Like, you know, or has Netflix changed or corrected some of their casting issues? Are they getting some young people on their staff to go found? Did you watch Saturday Night Live with Sydney Sweeney?
No.
So Sydney Sweeney, you know her from Euphoria and The White Lotus. Young, pretty.
Which one was she in The White Lotus?
She was the daughter of Steve Zahn. Blonde.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, she's on Saturday Night Live, and they have this detective show, and it's a detective. Oh. We've got all these cold cases that we need to solve, and so they're going through talking about the cold cases, and it's her, and is it Chloe Fineman? They're like,
yes, I
found him.
I saw that on TikTok.
Yeah, and they were like, so we went to his Insta, and we went here, and we went there. I was like, you need to hire these two young people right here, Netflix.
I know.
There are people like this in the world. Find them.
Yes.
They will figure out what is going on.
Yes. People our age, we don't know how to find connections on Instagram. Like, I know that you look at people's friends and then you look, do something. I don't know. There's like five or six steps. And I only know the first step.
I mean, if someone put a gun to my head right now and said, Tess, put up a reel. And, you know, put these things on it and do this and do that. I don't know what I would do. I don't know what I would do. I know how to record a video and I know how to give it to someone else and say, can you put this on my social media? Like the social, you know, even on our social media for Psych Legal Pop, you and I are like, wait, what's happening?
We don't do it.
We can't. We're idiots. We're too old.
I tried, like one time I think I successfully posted something, but... You know, it was a fluke. Like, and it was just a picture, video, forget it. Like, no, absolutely no way.
Yeah. So I don't even know how to do a, what's a story? If someone put a gun to my head and said, do a story, I
don't know how to do that either.
I'd have a bullet in my head because there's just no way. So that's who Love is Blind needs. They need found him.
They need a couple of 22-year-olds, even younger, you know, like
masters. Yes.
Yeah.
That's who you should be hiring. You don't need more casting people. You need people that are going to get the
dirt. You don't need Chelsea, who's, you know, coming up on 40. You need someone who's in their late teens.
Yeah, exactly. To get to the bottom of this. But yeah, that's what I'm just wondering. But anyway, it's not important. God damn, I love this show. And I'm very sad it's over.
I know.
And I don't understand why they need to shove it down our throats so quickly. Like this should have been 2 to 3 months of our lives. Do you know what I mean? The first six episodes, it was too quick.
They need, look, I understand they want to hook people in. And this is what they did in the past. They would release like 3 episodes right away.
Yeah, and that's fine. Three's enough.
Then it would be week by week, one episode a week.
Yes.
That's what I want. I want normal television viewing like it used to be, like in the 80s, okay? Where you get, no, seriously, every Wednesday morning, I get up early. I'm so excited. I usually watch it before I start work. And this morning they didn't air it until 6 o'clock.
Thank God we don't live on the East Coast. If we lived on the East Coast, there'd be no way we'd get this podcast to you.
We wouldn't even be doing this. No.
Yes.
We had to wait until 6 o'clock to watch it. And like appointment television people, you know, that's where it's at. I am tired of this. Like, yeah, with the pressure to watch all these episodes, I don't have that kind of time.
Well, but I can understand if you're like binge watching something and you want to binge something and that's how it is released. But Love is Blind, 6 episodes, that was just too much.
No.
Like you need to do, they used to
you
do
have to
3 and 2 and 2 and, you know, give me 3, then give me 2, then give me 1 a week, you know, tease me a little. Yes.
But also you need time to process it. Like when you're trying to watch like 6 in a row, you're like, who is this person? Who is that person? But they have gotten better at editing so that you understand who is who, because they used to cover too many extraneous people who never made it out of the pods.
And now we don't see those people.
We don't see those people. It's very apparent from the first episode. Mm-hmm. Who the couples are, or who the possible couples are. They're not messing around with any of these extra people. So I appreciate that. But God.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a lot of work.
Yeah. Oof. All right.
All right. Well,
gosh, I'm going to wrap this up. So thank you so much for tuning in. That's a wrap on season 6 of Love is Blind. If you enjoy this podcast and you haven't already, please give us a 5-star rating. It really does help us out. You can follow us on social media at Psych Legal Pop on TikTok and TikTok. I keep saying TikTok every week. I'm that old. TikTok or Instagram or both. Let's see what else. On Tuesdays, we are covering Seeking Sister Wife. This is a new show for me.
It's good.
And then we'll be back next Thursday. We have a very exciting episode with an exciting guest next week for our Thursday episode. And yeah, spread the word of Cyclical Pop. We really appreciate everyone's support. So if you like this episode, please share it with some friends and we can continue to build the podcast.
And make sure you're subscribed.
Yes, subscribe. That too.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But thank you so much for your support. Thanks for going through another season of Love is Blind with us. And we'll see you all next time.
We'll be back on that.
Yep.
All right.
Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock, because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, parental controls, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.